The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 18, text number 61, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on October 21st, 2010, in Copenhagen, Denmark.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 18, text number 61. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridesher Janatishtati Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Purport. Arjuna was not the supreme knower, and his decision to fight or not to fight was confined to his limited discretion. Lord Krishna instructed that the individual is not all in all. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, or He Himself Krishna, as the localized Supersoul, sits in the heart directing the living being. After changing bodies, the living entity forgets his past deeds, but the Supersoul, as the knower of the past, present, and future, remains the witness of all his activities. Therefore, all the activities of living entities are directed by this Supersoul. The living entity gets what he deserves and is carried by the material body, which is created in the material energy under the direction of the Supersoul. As soon as a living entity is placed in a particular type of body, he has to work under the spell of that bodily situation. A person seated in a high-speed motor car goes faster than one seated in a slower car, though the living entities, the drivers, may be the same. Similarly, by the order of the Supreme Soul, material nature fashions a particular type of body to a particular type of living entity so that he may work according to his past desires. The living entity is not independent. One should not think himself independent and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The individual is always under the Lord's control. Therefore, one's duty is to surrender, and that is the injunction of the next verse. Shri Guru Shri Jata Dala Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatanvita Damsajita Advaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha. So this verse is giving us a very nice hint to understand how we can properly utilize our existence. It is a fact that the Supreme Lord is sitting in within our hearts. That's a fact. Who can deny Him? One is getting facilitated since that Supreme Soul within knows our past life's activities and our past inclinations. We have been awarded a particular type of body with a particular gender, particular nationality, particular set of senses according to our previous activities. Everything is completely fair. God is not cruel. Everything is fair. One man is rich because previously he was a very pious man. You see. Just like our George Harrison, Prabhupada said that he was a pious Hindu man in his previous life. Very pious Hindu. So because of his piety, he became rich and famous Beatle. You see. So everything is due to previous actions. So the intelligent thing to do is to live this life, this present life, in such a way that no more taking bodies, you see. Punarjanmana vijayate. You live this life in such a way that you will not take another body. You understand? Yeah. So, why is it that we have been obliged birth after birth after birth, taking body after body after body? It is a simple principle. It is called Indriya Seva. As long as we are on the platform of serving these senses, then we are creating for ourselves another body in which we will serve the senses. In other words, our previous inclinations, we set up a certain pattern of thinking, feeling, willing, and acting, which creates another body. Yanyam vapi smaram bhavam chijante kalevanam tantam mevaiti konteya sadatad bhavavavitaha. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita chapter 8, text number 6, whatever state of being one puts his body, that state he will attain without fail, son of Kunti. So what are we doing in this lifetime? We are creating a mindset. We are creating a certain attitude, a certain inclination. And that what we are creating right now at this very minute, and you know, later on this evening, tomorrow morning, at every minute we are putting ourselves into a certain frame of mind, and that is creating a certain attitude or a certain consciousness. That consciousness will then carry us to that similar type of body which is suitable for that consciousness. Therefore, we recommend that if you want to become free from all suffering, from all delusion, confusion, that you should cultivate what is known as Krishna consciousness. You understand? This is our recommendation. Because by cultivating Krishna consciousness, which is instead of being interested in serving your senses, Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam, be interested in serving the senses of the Lord of the senses, Krishna, Rishikesha. You may say, but what about my senses? I mean, I need gratification if I serve Rishikesha. What about my Rishiks, you know, my senses? The good news is this. When you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. And this is actually the easy way. This is called lazy intelligence. If you water the root of the tree, then all the leaves and branches are nourished. If you feed your belly, then every part of your body becomes nourished. If I think, well, my elbow needs a little nutrition, my ears need some nutrition, so I'll take some rice, you know, rub it on my elbow, put some dal in my ear, you know. Take some chapati and rub it on my head, you know. Try to get some nutrition. Will it work? Will you get nutrition? No, you'll starve. But if you take that rice, that dal, and that chapati, and you put it in your belly, then you get very nutrition. The elbow, the head, the ear, the eye, every part of your body will become very nicely nourished, you see. So that is Krishna consciousness. Feed your belly. Krishna is the belly of the whole existence. So if you will give your loving service to Krishna, you will become satisfied. Your wife, your children, your friends, your neighbors, your parents, your government, every living entity throughout the whole universe will become satisfied, including yourself, if you will simply learn this art of how to give satisfaction to Krishna. So this is what the devotee practices. Let me think, speak and act in such a way that is pleasing to Krishna in all times, all places, and all circumstances, whether I'm at home, whether I'm at the temple, whether I'm at work, whether I'm shopping, whether I'm commuting, whether I'm on a vacation, visiting Indonesia, or whatever it may be. Let me utilize every minute in such a way that is pleasing to Krishna, and then the result will be that I'll become ecstatic because I'm pleasing Krishna. In other words, the devotee does not want to enjoy independently from Krishna. He wants that my only enjoyment will be whatever enjoyment I can give to Krishna. And since the devotee wants to enjoy, therefore he tries to give Krishna pleasure in everything he does. In everything he does, he tries to give pleasure to Krishna. He doesn't try to enjoy separately from Krishna. He always tries to give pleasure to Krishna in every situation. And as a result, wow, he's blissing out all the time. He's blissed out. From the moment he gets, he's blissed out when he gets up in the morning. Actually, blissed out is now in the unabridged dictionary. It's a bona fide English word. Blissed out. It's not just a slang word. It's an accepted part of the English language now. I'm blissed out, Prabhu. If you're Krishna conscious, then you're going to be blissed out 24 hours a day. You're just going to be exploding with bliss, you see. You're going to become ecstatic. So, all you really have to do is be Krishna conscious. That's all you really have to do. Whether you have money, whether you're poor, whether you're rich, whether you're famous, whether you're unknown, whether you're sick, healthy, old, young, white, black, male, female, or whatever you may be. Just try to always be Krishna conscious. And then you'll be the happiest person in the whole universe. I guarantee it. I absolutely guarantee you'll be the happiest person in the whole world. Nobody will be able to be happier than you if you're Krishna conscious. So how do you become Krishna conscious? It's very easy. You just follow the process known as sadhana bhakti. Always think of Krishna. It must be the easiest way to think of Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you always think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna as much as you can, you see, then it's easy to always be Krishna conscious. And if you keep doing it, it becomes natural, even in your mind. Just like I woke up this morning on the airplane, somewhere out there in the middle of Europe, I woke up on the airplane, and in my mind, I was just hearing Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, the morning melody. It's just like going through my brain. I'm like, wow, this is really great. It's like piped in on the airplane in the sound system or something. I'm waking up and I'm hearing Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. It was so nice. All the karmis were asleep, and I was just sitting there. Maharaji was sitting over there in her seat singing her little Mangalarti, and I was doing mine. It was so nice, you see, just Krishna consciousness. It's all you need to be happy, is just to be Krishna conscious. So everyone should try to rise early in the morning, do some chanting, you know, do some meditation on God's holy name. Like all the great sages, you know, get up and meditate. That's your first business. Go deep into meditation on the holy name, you see. We have our temple here. We have a program starting at 4:30. Come for the morning program. Meditate on the beautiful form of Shishi Gornatai, Krishna in his most merciful manifestations as Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. Come and meditate on these beautiful forms. Hear the beautiful kirtan. Dive deep into this meditation. And then your whole day will become, you'll be floating in a cloud the whole day. The material world won't be able to get you down at all. You'll just be completely ecstatic the whole day, you see. So, this is our process of Krishna consciousness. We do hope that you'll take full advantage of it and make your life supremely successful by taking this process as your life and soul. That my number one goal in life is to become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So I can ask now, since we're a little bit, we just came in all the way from India, we want to make, kind of get to bed early tonight, you know. So we can get up early with full energy. Does anyone have any question? Everyone has all the answers already. Question yet?
Thank you, Maharaj. How come I'm not so enthusiastic?
Huh?
How come I am not so enthusiastic?
Yes. Sometimes we suffer from a lack of enthusiasm because we forget the order of the spiritual master. That's it. Prabhupada orders, should always be enthusiastic. His instruction is, you should always be enthusiastic. And if you're not, it means you forgot that Prabhupada ordered you to always be enthusiastic. That's it. So just every time you've noticed, I don't have any enthusiasm, trying to figure out, why don't I have any enthusiasm? What's going on? Oh yeah, I forgot. Prabhupada told me to always be enthusiastic. And as soon as you remember why you're not enthusiastic, well, now you can go ahead and remember, well, Prabhupada told me to always be enthusiastic, so let me just obey him, that's it. It just means you're forgetting the order of the spiritual master, that's a simple thing. You're simply forgetting Guru's order. Now you have to, as soon as you remember, then immediately you become enthusiastic. Oh yes, Guru Maharaj has ordered me to always be enthusiastic, therefore I will always be enthusiastic. That's all it takes. You just got to have remembered. Your duty is to always be enthusiastic. That's your duty. You must do that because you've been ordered to do that. Whether you have it or not, the order is there. So you do have it. Just obey the order. So, Prabhupada gave that direct order to me. He said, continue enthusiastically as you were doing and surely Krishna will bless you. And it works. As soon as you pick yourself up out of the doldrums, pick yourself up out of, you know, lack of, out of lethargy, whatever it may be, and then immediately you feel how Krishna is blessing you. Immediately. without any delay. Krishna is so kind. He's given me this mercy, Krishna consciousness. Question more, yeah?
I'm sorry, Maharaj. I feel some kind of... I feel afraid of being very enthusiastic. I feel like if I'm very enthusiastic, then other people will kind of criticize me or something.
You should learn to understand that if other people are criticizing me, that must have been sanctioned by Krishna. So, I have to... The false ego doesn't like it to be criticized. But you have to rise with your intelligence. You must rise beyond the platform of a false ego and realizing if I'm being criticized, there must be a reason for it. So let me see how this criticism is a blessing. See, a devotee, he sees everything as Krishna's blessing. He sees how Krishna's mercy is manifesting in so many shapes and forms. 24 hours a day, there's a constant flow of mercy from Krishna. It comes in every conceivable way that it's coming. So if you can have that vision to see these criticisms have been sanctioned by Krishna for a certain purpose to help me become more Krishna conscious, then you become enlivened. You go, wow, this is great. Just see how Krishna's mercy is coming in the form of this criticism. Okay?
Yeah. If I take the counter argument, one may say that it is one feels more safe if one is not so enthusiastic, because then one doesn't. One is more like one of the others. If one is more enthusiastic than the normal crowd, then one like is.
And you might be criticized for your enthusiasm.
You know, if one goes into the lamplight, one makes oneself very visible. If one is very.
You become more visible if you're enthusiastic.
Say that if I'm more enthusiastic than other people, they're not so enthusiastic. If I'm just
they become like, envious and critical.
So someone thinks that I will be very much in the spotlight. I will be very much in the spotlight if I'm very enthusiastic. It's safer.
Yes.
I feel safer if I'm not so enthusiastic.
I understand.
Because all the others are like
better. Better is to stay kind of humdrum consciousness. Nobody notices me. I don't get criticized. Yeah, that's one danger of becoming enthusiastic. Everybody gets envious. Why is that guy? Why is he so enthusiastic? He must be false egotism, you know. Why is he so enthusiastic for preaching, for doing this? Surely he must be puffed up. So yeah, there's a danger in being enthusiastic, and you can say, I understand your point. If you get too enthusiastic, people get envious and they want to criticize you because, as it said, misery enjoys company. Those who are not enthusiastic, if they see someone really fired up, they just want to find fault with them because, they're envious. Well, you have to decide, who do you want to please? The envious or do you want to please Krishna?
Huh? He's a Norwegian and he's conditioned to that, you know.
You're a Norwegian? Do you think you're your body?
No.
But he's
I don't identify with that nationality.
I mean, do you think you're a Scandinavian? Huh? Do you all think you were Scandinavians? That's Scandinavians. Stop being Scandinavian, skin disease. You see, you have to realize, Jivara Sarupahoi Krishnara Nichidas. Give up your Scandinavian skin disease, you see. You have to become simply the sold out. Do you think Prabhupada was criticized for his enthusiasm? Oh, yes. His god brothers were very envious. Who is this Bhaktivedanta Swami? When those gundas attacked our Mayapur temple, they were sent by some of Prabhupada's god brothers, you know them. And they came, that whole incident where Bhavananda got arrested for firing the rifle, they were sent by Prabhupada's god brothers to attack the ISKCON temple. They were so envious. So, there is some risk Being enthusiastic, it's a fact. But you have to decide who you want to please. Do you want to please the envious? Do you want to please Krishna? You have to decide. You have to scientifically analyze, where will I get better result for my future happiness? By pleasing the envious or by pleasing Krishna? You have to decide. Where will you get better result? You may have to take a little heat. Prabhupada took a lot of heat from his godbrothers. He really did. He took a lot of heat for his enthusiasm for preaching. He really did. In fact, he was so enthusiastic. Before he came to America, he was living in the ashram of a godbrother, and he was very unceremoniously removed from the ashram. Well, very tactfully removed from the ashram. It was done with very nice tactfulness. I'll give them credit for that. But it was unceremonious. He was very enthusiastic to publish and distribute books, and no one else was, you see. So very tactfully they gave him his, what we call in America, a Dear John letter, you know. Okay, we're cutting it off. So he was, whose mark do you want to follow? Which pathway do you want to follow? The pathway of the successful preachers, or the pathway of the envious fault finders? Which pathway do you want to be on? You can take your pick, Prabhu. I'd rather take, even if I have to take the heat from envious type of people, I'd rather take it for my purification and again please Krishna, than to please them and not really do much to please Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. You see? It takes guts to be a hero sometimes. But it's worth it. The payoff is great because you please Krishna. I'll give you an example. When I joined this movement, I got initiated in a little center called Austin, Texas, ISKCON Austin. And Prabhupada instructed me in my initiation letter, make our Austin Center a grand success. We're still there preaching in Austin now. We have a little Namahat Center going on. That's where I take breaks from my travel around the world. I go back to our ashram in Austin. Programs are going on regularly. So anyway, Prabhupada said, make our Austin Center a grand success. And then the temple president said, well, okay, we're going to close down the temple and go traveling and preach. We're going to completely close the temple, permanently disband, totally, not just temporarily, but permanently close the center and just travel and preach from now on. Close the center. So I felt great enthusiasm to follow Prabhupada's order to make the Austin Center a grand success, and now the temple president said, we're just going to close the center, permanently close the center and abandon this city and just travel and preach. And I couldn't relate to that because I had an order from Prabhupada to make the center in Austin a grand success. I mean, how you can serve the order of the spiritual master when there is no Austin Center, you see? Yeah. So I wrote Prabhupada. I was so enthusiastic to make the Austin Center a grand success, I wrote to Prabhupada a letter and I complained. Prabhupada, the temple president, wants to close the temple. I don't think we should, Srila Prabhupada. Now, do you think that, and Prabhupada wrote me back, he was very pleased with my attitude to keep the center open. Do you think the temple president was pleased with me? He was rather disturbed with me. Because Prabhupada chastised him. Prabhupada glorified me and chastised him. You think Prabhupada was pleased with me? No way. He wasn't very happy with me. We got an one of those lariograms from Prabhupada on two sides. My letter was on one side and his letter was on the other. It's addressed to the both of us, that lariogram. And the temple president wasn't very happy with my enthusiasm to keep the center open. But Prabhupada was pleased. So you think I was happy? I was really happy because Prabhupada was very pleased with me. I had written and I'm Prabhupada, the people here are so much suffering for lack of Krishna consciousness, I feel we must stay and keep the center going. Prabhupada was so pleased. He was so happy with me that I felt that compassion for the suffering souls in that city. He was so happy with me. So, and I got to keep the letter. The temple president let me keep it. I had the original letter still. The prophet wrote to us. So yeah, he wasn't very happy with me for my enthusiasm, but Prabhupada was pleased. That to me, that's what really counts. You know. Even though I was criticized by some for my enthusiasm, it pleased my spiritual master. Even though Prabhupada was criticized by some for his enthusiasm, it pleased Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Sometimes you have to decide, you know, who you want to please, the envious or your spiritual master and the great acharyas. You have to make a decision. Decide what's in your best self-interest. You see? You have to just make some tough decisions sometimes and do the needful. What can I say? Okay, well, I think we're going to have a lot of classes this weekend, and since, you know, came all the way from India, we need a good night's sleep, so I think we'll end it here. And we thank you all very much for being here, holding down the fort here in Copenhagen, in this very important city, in this very important part of the world. You are all doing a wonderful service by maintaining this center. It's a Prabhupada is smiling upon you with great pleasure for the sacrifices you make here. So kindly continue in this way, always trying to please Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas and your senior devotees, your gurus, your ISKCON leaders, GBC, etc. Jai. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.